Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 394, top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you.
You've come down with a bout of tiredness, like
my
in the past, like,
goodness.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. I can't stop yawning. And you know that kind of really tired yawn when it just envelops your head and your eyes close and you go, oh, no, that's where I am
that's
now.
The end.
I'm asleep, sitting up at a desk.
Oh, no.
Ah, not again.
Chicken and mushroom casserole.
With
mashed
mash.
Potato.
Yeah.
Good. Been busy. The Sabo potato and leek soup made and roast tomato and capsicum soup made.
Yeah.
This is leftover.
I had a taste test of both soups.
What was your favourite?
Very different. Oh, I don't know. Because the tomato capsicum one has a bit of it punched to the face.
Which is funny because it's only got like a teaspoon of that Keen's curry curry powder.
It's not bad, like not a bad punch, but it's a like, whew, wasn't expecting that. But then the other one is very comforting.
Yeah. That's one of the ones I think they use the term, it's going to stick to your ribs. It's really thick.
Oh, yeah.
Potato one.
What is it? Potato and what again?
Potato and leek. It's got some, I forgot
like
to buy the bacon, but I had leftover Christmas ham in the freezer, so it's Christmas ham.
I'll be honest.
Not a lot.
I enjoy a straight potato leek.
Yeah, right.
I do. Like okay. It doesn't need the ham or bacon in there.
So a bit of saltiness would be good.
Yeah. No. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of salt.
True.
I like the flavours and the ingredients without over
You're our
saturation.
Mother in the late 80s, early 90s.
No. Let's not insult me with that. I'm not microwaving vegetables and disallowing any salt whatsoever because those vegetables no longer tasted like vegetable.
Vegetables. From the Mong Glossary.
The Mong Glossary. I am about vegetables having vegetable flavour.
Mm-hmm.
Salt should enhance, not take over.
Yeah. Indubitably.
Just call me Top Chef.
Okay. You've won.
Top Taster.
Yeah, Top Taster.
Yeah.
You have got the news stories this week. We've all of us have watched stuff. Mm. And it's a game of memory. How well do you remember the answers that you were asked last year?
So you're re-asking me? Oh, fail.
So fun.
I can tell you right now.
So fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
It's now time for the news.
Good evening.
I'm Janice Peterson.
I am Tidy McTidy Tide. Here on Watchers News Break.
Good.
Netflix has, this is an exclusive.
To us?
Oh, probably the world.
Okay.
Let's not.
I wasn't sure if Netflix called up and they were like, hey, Steph.
No, we're not yet on those sort of speaking terms, unfortunately. I mean, I wouldn't deny it, but also I'm not going to answer a phone call from a number I don't know. So they might have to text me first.
Send a text
and I won't call you back. You can still call me back. I'll text you back. That's what I would do.
Yeah, saying, okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Email me. And then I'd forget to check my email.
Yeah.
I don't like being contacted, clearly.
Just want some quiet time.
Anyway, exclusive. Netflix has cancelled Pulse, The Residence, and it's a little bit grey area as to whether they've actually cancelled No Good Deed with Lisa Kudrow or not.
Oh, I liked that one.
Yeah, that one is sort of in the pipelines as to whether or not it might come back in the future with a new instalment, but The Residence is cancelled. Now, I was reading the comments on this and everybody was saying, I can't believe it. No, that was the best show ever. You know, Netflix top 10 for so long. Mm. And one person wrote, I can understand why. And my goodness, there was a pile on. But my thought was, I understand why too. Now, let me run something by you.
Okay.
First episode of The Residence.
Great.
Amazing. Hooked. Kept watching. Then it got a bit weird, right? She ended up.
Kylie was in the second, so that was good.
That was really good. Oh.
Wasn't she?
Julie McMahon. Oh.
Maybe that's why they've cancelled it.
Maybe. That's a bit sad. Sorry, I didn't mean to take it all down, but anyway, then she ended up in the jungle bird watching.
Yeah.
And there was still no answer as to what happened. And I'm going to be honest, stop watching. Mm. I don't know who did it. Do you?
No, I stopped watching.
Stop watching.
I've got too much to watch.
I think that's what it was. Netflix's algorithm was like, everybody's clicking on this. And then
they haven't finished it.
They've dwindled. Yeah. Mm. Which is a shame because I really, when I got hooked on the first one, I thought, oh, what are they going to do next season? Same detective, different.
Mm. I would imagine same detective.
Like obviously not White House again.
No.
But new.
Mm. We'll never know. Building. We'll have absolutely no idea.
We'll have no idea. What a shame. I should have just brought the episodes down. Do six.
I just want us all in the world to agree on this. And by agree, I mean we don't talk about it. We just say yes, what you said, Leah.
Yep.
The fact that there were Australians in it has nothing to do with cancellation. Okay? Move on.
That was never.
Move on.
That's the realm of discussion.
Exactly.
But they were prominent in the first episode, which was really good, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see what's happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Moving on, Leah, now that that's been cancelled. And we all know Netflix likes to cancel, so I don't know why we're
massive
surprised.
Massive fans.
Something that probably did get cancelled, but let's celebrate that it came out 35 years ago, Blossom.
Do you remember the hat? She had the hat with the sunflower, the massive, there we go. She had all these flowers in it. Now, we can say, once again, I'm going to tie this to an Australian group of icons.
Okay.
Blossom just came along wearing the hat that was already made popular in Australia by the all-girl singing group Girlfriend. Take it from me.
They were teenagers.
Mm-hmm. One of them went to our school.
Were they a hit?
They were massive, and their hats even more so. And then Blossom came along, and we were like, oh, she's also wearing one as well.
My goodness, she is so.
She's wearing it as well.
She's seen Girlfriend, and she has gone, oh, yeah, that is a fashion statement. Now, can I ask you a question? Here's your quiz for the evening, day, night, podcast, day, whatever.
I appreciate that.
What was Blossom's surname?
Sanderson. I have no idea.
I have no idea either. Russo.
Really?
R-U-S-S-O. Yeah.
I don't think I knew that. I thought you were going to ask who her brother was.
Joey Lawrence, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What's his character's name?
Was it Joey as well?
I think it might have been Joey.
Joey? He's one of those people that I only know his name, Joey. So
Joey and Tony were the brothers?
So he really was Joey. The character was Joey.
I think so, yeah.
I'm just going to do a little bit of research by, yes, his name was Joey. Yep.
Well, that's easy for everyone, isn't it? I mean, you're not going to have any mistakes.
And wasn't her friend's name like 6 or 7 or something? Her name was like a number.
That's right.
Or Daisy? No, it wasn't 6. Daisy. It was 6. I overthought it then. I was like, oh, I'm going to keep thinking, see if I can figure it out. But I should have just gone with the first thing I said.
And I remember thinking then, you've chosen a show with two unusually named girls. That's a big call.
And neither of them are that unusual. Like the characters themselves.
No, the characters weren't unusual. The names are unusual. Anyway, on to more.
And the other brother was older, wasn't he?
Yeah. An
adult.
Like he was 35 to me.
Yeah, he probably was 35.
Probably was 35.
Actor. Sorry, please move on.
Yeah, gosh, you just interrupted my news bulletin. Third one, in more congratulatory news.
Nice, they're going high and happy. Were you just watching a video?
Just pressed it accidentally, didn't mean to. Noah Wiley, star of the hit The Pit and ER, has been given a Hollywood Walk, a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, that's nice. He's a good guy.
It's one of those ones where you go, oh, I would have thought you've already had one.
Maybe he was overshadowed by George Clooney back in the day.
Perhaps.
And the other guy, you know, from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes. Michael.
I think he was in Maverick as well.
Mm.
Was he Goose?
Yeah.
Have you seen all of that movie?
Not that I remember.
It's impressive we know the names though. That's good. Good on you, Noah. If The Pit wasn't around, there's no way he would have gotten
that. No, he wouldn't have.
at all.
Good on him, though, because he does a very, very stellar job in that.
He's kind of...
And he's not just...
He's the face of it.
Yeah, and he's not just the face. He's not just the main actor. Like, he is the behind-the-scenes creator. And one more little one. It is unfortunately another cancellation.
Oh, what's going on? New financial year.
Yeah.
That'll be it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I had heard about this one, but it is Dr. Odyssey, another one with Joshua Jackson yeah. on like a luxury super yacht. Mm. But a yacht that has lots of passengers, not like below not deck below super yacht. Yeah. That has been cancelled. And again, it's sort of in, they're saying the grey zone as to maybe something else might come out of
okay.
it. But
this is what I'm thinking. Lisa Kudrow show and Everybody Loves yeah. Raymond and this contracts.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah.
I'll do the second season.
But.
For more money.
And Netflix is like, see you later. Like,
we don't do second
seasons.
We
don't do second seasons. We lie to you when we say
yeah.
we'll sign you on.
Mm.
Yeah.
We lie to the audience when we're like, and here's a cliffhanger.
Yes. And we're going to put it in your top 10. So you're all obsessed by it.
We're all into it.
Yep.
And then we're going to get rid of it.
We all knew.
You little pieces of gear. They were great news stories.
Yeah, you're welcome.
A lovely mix of stuff.
Thanks.
Some memory. Actually, a lot of them had memories. Joshua Jackson.
Yeah, good
Dawson's
point.
Dawson's Creek, Blossom.
It was a real nod to the 90s.
Julian McMahon. He was in Home and Away.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to get into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Can I go first?
Yeah, go on.
I have jumped back in to a series I really liked and we were talking about it. We were talking about it not long ago that they're getting a season 4, I think. Dark Winds on SBS On Demand.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, it's
how
really
hilarious.
Good.
We've just talked about things getting cancelled after one season.
Yeah.
Fourth season.
Thank you very much, AMC. Yeah, this is, and I'm three episodes in. It's bloody good. Really, really like it.
SBS On Demand.
Yeah, it's a bit
are
of a-
Are all seasons available?
Three are, yeah. Because obviously they haven't made the fourth or
yeah.
it's not released yet. Yeah, but SBS got it early whilst this, like the when they do the rushes at the end of the day of filming, they send it straight to SBS so we can watch it. It's really good.
Oh, goodness.
Amazing.
That's connections
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, that's total connections. No. Three seasons are up there and I'm expecting that's where you're going to find the fourth one. Oh, it's so good.
I haven't watched it. I'm going to have to.
I think you really like it. It's got that mix. It's a little bit like True Detective in that there's a murder mystery or people are being murdered. Like in this one, you know who's murdering, but you just don't know why, right?
Yeah, okay.
But there's also just a tiny little bit of maybe supernatural, maybe a bit of old Navajo spirits doing. Yeah, there's something else there.
Mm-hmm.
Or is there? Or is it just, is it just us? Is it the show making us think there is? What have you been watching?
Okay, so I started a new series.
You should have seen how quickly she jumped on her list.
Yeah, because I have to remember the name of it. I started a new series called Mixtape, and it's available on Binge or Foxtel. And it's a new release, made 2025. And it's about two young teens, I'd say sort of maybe year 11, 12-ish, set in 1989 and in Sheffield in the UK.
It sounds good.
It is good. It is good. It's based off a book. So you know it's good when they're based off a book. It is showing the two teenagers who come from different, I guess, more economical walks of life than cultural walks of life. But I don't want you to think that one is exceptionally rich. I would say that one is just sort of middle class and the other one is barely scraping by with, you know, a tumultuous world that they live in. And these two fall in love. And life takes them in different directions and they're sort of from different groups, but they really bond over their tastes in music and sharing music with each other. And it's, you know, they really connected the first time sort of showing each other that they were interested and liked each other by making each other a mixtape.
Fun.
It's really fun. And then it's sort of split in two, and there's more modern day time of following these two, and now they're sort of in their 40s, and one has moved to Australia, is a very successful author, and the guy is still living in the UK, and he has been a successful writer for Rolling Stone.
So they're both writers.
They're both writers. And that sort of gels throughout as to it's not just the music that they're interested in, it's the lyrics and what it's expressing that they're really interested in. So one has moved to Sydney, Australia, and she's just about to release a book, and he discovers that she's just about to release a book. And so they've started to just connect, and it's all through Facebook, like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, friend request. And you can see them sort of thinking, oh, do I, don't I, like, what? And like keep going back to look at the screen to, do you press accept or not? And then they just send each other like a song through a Spotify link.
Oh, fun.
So that idea of sending that mixtape, and it's like, I'm thinking of you.
Yeah.
And this song has reminded me of you. And their lives are so different. And even though they're essentially reconnecting or trying to reconnect, the story really focuses on the differences that are happening in their life, and that life continues to go on even when your mind is somewhere else with those memories of the person who you used to be and who you used to know.
You don't even know if how much they've changed. I mean, you would assume that they would have changed a lot.
Yes.
Sydney. Cool.
Yeah. And so there are lots of places where you go, oh, I know exactly where that is. Yeah. Really interesting. And seeing familiar Australian faces, you know, even doing different accents and things. So it's really interesting. I think there's only four episodes. Ooh. I haven't made it to the fourth episode yet, but the reviews that I have seen, people are saying four episodes is not enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that they were like, yeah, four episodes is perfect. They must have just told the story from the book.
Must have told the story so well to have four episodes and have people going, oh, I love these characters so much. I want more and more and more. Really does have that nostalgic feeling because they're it's set in 1989, the past story.
And you have music going through
it,
I'm assuming.
You have music going through it, and it really made me think. There are a lot of shows lately in the last, let's say, 5-10 years that have really used music to continue telling the story, even though the music could be separate from the story. So this one has beautiful music running the whole way through. And I was thinking, remember Sex Education had the same thing where songs would start and you go, oh, you are giving me so much more because of this music. Even Handmaid's Tale, they don't have a theme. Their opening and closing is a song.
You know, it wasn't until you told me that I realized.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. Yeah, I can't sing you the song because there isn't one. It
doesn't have one. And the credits is always a song that
means something.
I don't know how they've picked them though, because you've watched something so tragic and horrific and then this song starts and you go, it matches perfectly without slapping me in the face with something hardcore.
Also makes you a bit angry. Like it's almost like a war cry last episode, the last song of an episode in Handmaids. You know that show Valeria?
Yeah, go on. One more
from
time.
From Spain, from Madrid that I've been watching. They use music a lot and they change the opening theme, which is not actually in the – it's like usually a few minutes in. Mm. That changes depending on what the episode's about.
That's cool.
And they use both English, Spanish, and I heard French in one of the latest episodes. So it's more – I guess for all audiences, it's more the feel of the song.
Yes.
Because I don't know what they're saying in Spanish. Yes. Maybe the Spanish audience doesn't know what's being said in English and French, you know. Music is really important.
Imagine having that job of music direction.
You'd have to know everything.
You'd have to know so many songs and be like that is the ultimate mixtape, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the ultimate mixtape, professional mixtape.
I have a song that is going to give this feeling. That is incredible.
Do they then feel a bit frustrated when they have to go then tell the lawyers, can you please get us the copyright for this?
Yeah, probably even more annoyed when they go, we can't use it.
Oh, for God's sake, that was the perfect song.
Perfect song.
Yeah, but Lenny Kravitz said no. I don't think he would. I just picked a name. I'm sure he's cool, you know?
Yeah.
I watched a movie from 2013. It was one of those ones that I saw the cast and I was like, how did I miss this? Mm. How have I never heard of it?
Yeah, okay.
Steve Carell.
Yes.
Toni Collette.
Yes.
Alison Janney. Sam Rockwell. Maya Rudolph. Amanda Peet.
What is it?
It's called The Way, Way Back. And it's set over a summer, American summer holidays.
Because we don't call it summer holidays.
No, we call it something else.
Christmas holidays. Even though Christmas is the first week of those holidays.
Yeah, but the lead up to it is all about.
And then it turns into the January holidays.
Yeah. You have a summer holiday, don't you? I don't know now. Do we?
No.
No. It's Christmas holidays.
It's Christmas holidays, okay. And then it becomes your January holidays.
Well, Toni Collette had to forget all about that in order to be an American character in this. She's a mother of a teenage boy. He's probably about 14, 15, I reckon. And they're going on holidays to her new boyfriend's holiday house.
Yeah.
In this beach town that he has grown up, you know, going to this holiday house mm-hmm. almost every single year. And Alison Janney is the next door neighbor and she comes out and she's like, hi, how's it going? She's really friendly. She's got a drink in her hand and he's like, oh, for God's sake. She's so annoying. And then you realize during the course of the movie, she's not annoying.
He is. Yeah.
He's really rude to everyone. He thinks he's one of those people that's like, I'm the alpha male. Yeah. And everyone's like, we don't care.
No one cares.
And the teenage boy of the girlfriend that he has, he's so not dismissive. He's really tough on him.
Yeah, okay.
But I feel like their relationship has not gotten close. Like, it's too short a relationship for him to be doing that to that boy.
Yeah, okay.
And the boy's like, you suck. And he's a good boy.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. Anyway,
he's trying to dominate.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's trying to do. So the teenage boy ends up going and finding a water park, like the local water park. Sam Rockwell is the manager there and Maya Rudolph is there as well. And they give him a job. And I think because Sam Rockwell's character could tell that this kid doesn't want to be
on this holiday,
so why don't I pay him? He can come and hang out with us.
Yeah.
You know, there are lots of other kids of his age here enjoying themselves, you know, and he might be a staff member, but that kind of makes you pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
Fun.
Yeah, it was really good. I realized when we watched Four Seasons, I was like, Steve Carell's character is so different to the usual Steve Carell.
Yeah.
But it's, yes, but he's been doing different characters since obviously at least 2013.
Yeah, he has.
He's actually really good. I was like, oh, he's the funny guy from Anchorman and The Office. No, he's a lot more. Mm. I really liked it. This one was on Stan, and I would say if you feel like watching something that is, it's got a good story, but it also gives you those feelings of nostalgia, and I think it's nostalgia for those summer holidays that you had, like this Christmas holidays that you had, because you're kind of living vicariously through him where you're a teenager. So the magic of being on such a long break and being able to, you know, get away, you're more aware of stuff between like your parent, like adults.
Yeah.
And you're more aware of the problems that they have with each other or friends or like their adult thing, that it kind of taints
the holiday.
Your holiday for you?
Yeah.
It's really interesting. The way back.
Cool. Mm. I like the sound of that.
You would like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you watch that you liked the sound of? Before you watched it.
Funny you mentioned sound. Mine is actually a music doco.
Oh, I love these. Yeah. Honestly.
So this one has actually given me so much more appreciation and I guess understanding for I guess the artist, but more so the album and how it was written. But it's the, don't laugh at me, but it's Folklore, the Long Pond Studio Session, which is Taylor Swift's album. So I had heard a couple of the songs on Spotify from this Folklore album. And I thought,
So you haven't really listened to this
really
album?
I haven't really listened to it.
And is it new? Or?
No, okay. It's 2020. Okay. And I listened to it. I actually decided to put it on. I was pottering around the house and I was cleaning things and I put it on and I thought, oh, this is a really nice album. This is an album where it's very, very different from her poppy and very different from her country stuff. But it is the kind of album that you could have people over and you could have it in the background.
Okay. Yep.
You could sit by a fire with a glass of wine, or you could be pottering around your house, cleaning things and just be enjoying it. It's because it's a very storytelling type of album. When it was called Folklore, I was under sort of the impression it was going to be a bit more
folk music.
Not so much.
That's just what I assumed.
Yeah. So anyway, I'd been listening to it and finding myself putting it on while I was doing things, even at work. And I thought, I like this album. It's a good album. I don't think people would expect this album. So then when I saw it, it came up on Disney and I thought, oh, I'm interested. I'll have a look at this. So what happened was, it was right at the beginning of lockdown with COVID-19, and she obviously, well, nobody could, most people could not work, and she was sort of thinking, well, like, I had to cancel a huge world tour. What am I going to do? Who am I going to do? Well, actually, maybe this could be the chance that I could do all of those things that I've been thinking about but not really wanting to do. And she had admired lots of other musicians and particular bands who had never recorded with all musicians in the same room before, but had done that remote recording, and she was a bit nervous to do it. And it's between her and two other guys, one guy who she writes with and plays with and records with all the time, and another guy from another band who is a very skilled musician and singer. And they recorded this entire album in a very short period of time, remotely, like setting up studios in their bedroom closets,
putting towels all over everything
and being like,
soundproof it or dampen
we can't sound. Meet each other in person. We almost just have to trust the process and reach out to people and say, like, how do you feel about being on this song?
Have you got nothing to do as well?
Yeah. And she did it all behind the back of her record label, and then had to sort of kind of go, oh, actually, by the way, I've got an album. It's ready to go.
Is this a record label that she hates?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't research it that much. But it was very interesting to hear the stories of how this particular doco, they're sort of the three musicians, Taylor Swift included, are sitting around discussing each track, and then they sing the track live.
Oh, fun. And that's cool.
That is the first time they have ever played the track together with the three of them in one room.
That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible? And so there is this sort of feeling of them going, my goodness.
And as a viewer, you're obviously enjoying that moment between them as well.
And it's very calm. There's nothing showy about it. It's really genuine. But I did find that there is a certain, I don't know if this is a known thing, but a part of Taylor Swift's character where, and you can only imagine when you are a superstar and you're so incredibly successful and your songs and words are from your heart and your world, you know, she doesn't make up stuff, that stories kept coming back around to her. So even when the other guys would talk, she would be like, oh, I haven't finished my thought process and I've got to keep going. You're like, oh, okay. So I get the kind of person you are, that you just got to get it out.
Yeah.
And people just have to sit there and go, You know, those people you have in your life that talk and you go, oh, I'm not actually a participant in this conversation.
But I have to be here need me to react.
Yeah. Because you're talking to me, at me. So, anyway, it was a really cozy, comforting music doco to watch.
Yeah.
There was no stress involved. You know, a lot of with those music documentaries, they're like, and then this disaster happened and we had to fix it. And then this legal thing. There was none of that. It was genuine storytelling, and the appreciation that the three of them had for each other was so remarkably high. You think that must have been really special for them in a time that nobody knew what was going on.
That's right.
2020.
They created their own certainty by making this album.
Yeah. Mm. And they filled their time with something they enjoyed.
Mm.
You know, not
constructive.
Just constructive. Yeah.
I mean, we did as well. There was a lot of Below Deck, Top Chef.
And Catan. We played Catan.
Yeah, so much Catan.
I really enjoyed it. And I would go back to lockdown any day. Back.
It was really lovely.
Yeah.
So calming. Do you want to go back in time?
Yeah, go on.
Step back in time.
Step back in time.
Do a quiz that we've already done.
Is it just the one quiz or it's a collection quiz. Of quizzes?
No. This is the one quiz.
Did you listen to my answers?
No.
So I wonder how much I guessed.
It's like from last year.
100%.
Oh, my gosh. I've got a few here. No. I'm going to go with the one that I picked. Okay. Morgan Freeman movies.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So I guessed everything.
Synopsis.
I really would like you to go back and find what my original score was.
Okay. You know I'm not going to remember to do that, though. Someone else can do that.
Someone else can.
An old Jewish woman and her African-American chauffeur.
Driving Miss Daisy. Mm-hmm. I remember getting that one right last time. Right.
I remembered as I was reading it. I was like, I didn't get through the sentence. Do you want to have a guess of the year? This is always a bit of fun.
1982.
89. Later. A whiny news reporter is given the chance to step into God's shoes.
Bruce Almighty.
Yeah, and we were just
Oh, my gosh, maybe I got this all right.
Was Bruce – no, Bruce Almighty was Jim Carrey.
Oh, no, that's Jim Carrey. Okay, I've got it wrong, haven't I? I've got it wrong?
No, you've got it right. Oh. No, you've got it right because he played God – like Morgan Freeman was God.
I think Lauren Graham was in it.
Oh, okay. And then there was a sequel and Steve Carell was in it instead of Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing connections.
Evan, was he Evan?
Evan Almighty.
Evan Almighty. Oh, my gosh. That was a bonus point.
Oh, do you want to do a year for that?
No, not particularly.
Just do it anyway.
2003.
Yeah. Robin Hood decides to fight back as an outlaw when faced with the tyranny of the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Is it Robin? No, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Thieves, yes. Not Men in Tights.
Yeah.
Year? Everything I do it for you. That was the song from it.
1990.
Brian Adams. Would have been on Mix 106.5, 91.
91. Do you know what? I was going to say 1990, and then I thought, no, I think I'm a little bit.
That's time for the guru, though, Guru Josh. Mm. God contacts Congressman Evan Baxter.
Evan Almighty.
Do you want to have a year guess?
2008.
Seven.
What, the year after?
No. The first one was three.
Oh, three.
Yeah. So that would have been impressive.
It wasn't a year after my first answer.
Is this true? Oh, okay. I haven't read it.
True.
I've read it since
false.
It's true. The African monarch, Akeem, learns he has a long-lost son in the United States and must return to America to meet this unexpected heir and build a relationship with his son. Morgan Freeman's in this, apparently.
What's the sequel? What's the name? Coming to America Again? Two.
Must be two.
Return to America?
It's called Coming to America something. No. Yeah, Coming to America something. Two. I don't know. I've just written Coming to America 2021. I'm like, they wouldn't have named it that. I can't do additional research. I've got to be... I'm going to stick to the original script. You know how, like, sometimes I don't finish writing the stuff and I'm like, I'll remember that, but not a year later. Over the course of – this is the last one.
Oh, sorry, I thought we were done.
Over the course of several years, two convicts form a friendship seeking consolidation. They look at they help each other and eventually redemption through basic compassion. Do you want the initials?
Yeah, because you muddled me in the middle.
The SR. You haven't seen it.
Oh, good.
But it's quite famous. The
Shawshank Redemption. Mm. I might have seen it.
Oh, okay. Oh, it was me who hadn't seen it.
This is
great. We should redo these more often.
I mean, you not seeing a movie and thinking I hadn't is good. It's gold. But Priceless is the one where you didn't write the answer down.
It's gold.
You asked me a question and didn't
know the answer. I'll have a look for it now. I can't be. That was from what year whilst I do this?
1999. She doesn't know because she didn't write the answer.
Oh, okay.
Down.
So, all right. So It was 1994 for Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
This is what happened. The original movie was coming to America, 1988. The one from 2021 is coming to America, but the word two is the number two. No, it's just the number two. Coming to America.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
So you had a typo.
No, I wrote it correctly. They decided they were going to be cool.
No, you wrote it incorrectly.
I wrote it incorrectly. I wrote the original one.
Mm, yeah. Mm.
I'm sorry?
What? I wanted you to keep going with that little bit. But then you laughed.
Oh, I could, yeah, well, I was really good.
I couldn't get that
she's
going
She's really
ages.
Good at Watts.
Huh?
Now she's just stepping outside.
Cotter?
Okay.
We don't know anymore.
Don't know any other languages.
Oh, that was great. You didn't eat any of your dinner?
No.
That's okay. You don't need a backstory.
I was too busy talking, yep. Laughing.
It's in the podcast. I should be the one who's apologising. Sorry, ate through the whole thing.
On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
Two.
Three?
Well, it will be next year.